Welcome to season 2 of Puzzle Piece, the podcast dedicated to giving you tips and tricks about making it in the music industry. In the spirit of reconciliation, Puzzle Piece podcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Today we're speaking to Jared Jeremiah. The artist has been gaining a lot of traction for his unique blend of soul, DIY and hip-hop elements in his amazing music. Thanks for joining us today, Jared. So what was it like trying to make a name for yourself in Perth? Just thinking about it now, being in Melbourne, it seems like it's quite sparse, and obviously they've got some massive and amazing artists, but it seems like there's maybe less people involved in the industry. So what were the kind of ways you did that? I feel like it'd be useful for people who maybe are in regional towns or towns where music isn't really a big thing. What was your kind of process early on for that like?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's no thing in saying I've made it in the industry yet. I'm like everyone else trying to make industry, and there's little things I've found along the way, and I'm still every single day I'm finding kind of new tips and tricks and whatnot. I've actually kind of not struggled, but I've always had that back in the feeling, like that thing back in my mind being like, oh, Perth is like, it's so small. And even to do with like just other opportunities, all these kind of support, media, even like you have SYN media in Melbourne and everything, all that kind of stuff. I've always been in the back of my head being like, oh, in Melbourne, there's so much, what if I go there? But I've just been like growing my kind of local kind of scene and then kind of expand out. Cause actually I can't remember what something said. Someone said, think global, act local. So I only heard that saying really recently. I think it was probably a few months. And I've just been thinking about that so much nowadays, because like, if I want to say, I want to think about blowing up, and most artists want to think about blowing up, like the first thing you want to do is think global. Like, that's how every artist thinks. But then you want to act local. So say if you want to blow up, like, or say if you want to get on, I don't know, Pitchfork or some big blog, or I don't know, you just want to get in your, just try getting your local blog first. And that's what I've kind of been, kind of my mentality is at right now, I guess. Well, in terms of like all the online stuff, like, I feel like that's all transferable, because it doesn't matter where you are, honestly, especially with like COVID and everything. I don't think anyone really cares where you are. It's only when you start doing live shows, that's when you like need to transfer over audiences. But when you're like, especially when you're getting stuff online and, you know, all that kind of placements and whatnot, I feel like it just transfers over. And it's actually even easier to get support if you kind of, you know, they know you're local and stuff like that.
I imagine, obviously, it's been impacted in the last couple of years, but what are the kind of ways you've gone about meeting people in the industry and meeting producers or singers or just, I guess, like-minded people?
Well, first of all, I think the best way to meet people is in person. Sometimes in Perth, that's a bit hard, because there's only a certain number of people you can meet in person until you see their faces again, because they're so small and everyone knows everyone. And so once you even get to the top of, like, I don't know, it's just some promoter or some bloke who runs a label or something like that, there's like a very finite limit. That's why I've been using LinkedIn a lot. Like, that's actually helped me a ton. It's actually like a secret weapon. But I feel like that helps me, you know, if I want to find someone, I just literally, like, you know, find them, send them a friend request, and, you know, have a chat. And then, like, even to whatever placements you want, like, wherever you want to get on or whoever you want to connect to, you can literally find, like, who works there. Like, it's crazy. And I feel like it's so underused. Like, and I think people know about it, but they just don't want to do it. I think someone's manager actually told me about it. I think it was probably a year ago, and I only started using it this year. And you can make insane connections, and lots of especially right now in Australia, I feel like lots of like the big people, the big execs or whatever you want to call them, people, the tastemakers, they're trying to kind of look for Aussie music, especially because it's all that kind of the local thing, especially because of COVID and everything. So they're actually way more open to listening and getting pitched music than I thought, and they're like, yeah, just send it through this email. I'm like, all right, yeah. So everyone's really open to listening to Aussie music nowadays, which is really cool.
What was this process of reaching out to these labels like? You just find someone low down and email them with, hi, this is my name, bit about me, here's my songs. What was that kind of process like, and was it a lot of emails, was it a lot of maybe messages or phone calls, and yeah, how did you kind of deal with that?
Like, what I find works well for me, what has worked well is obviously building on each release. That's what's kind of my thing. So, like, building on each release in terms of just generally, like, media and whatnot. This is apart from, like, the live scene, but just in terms of media. Like, building on each release. So, say I get, like, two blogs on the next release. Although each release would be different, and each blog won't support each release, so it all can be different. I always try to say, like, I'm not getting more blogs, I'm not getting more media. It's just getting a different amount and kind of growing. So I've grown my audience. So it can be like two here and then two, and then the next one I can have, you know, maybe two, but in a different audience. That's what I kind of look at. Yeah, but like, yeah, it's hard.
So this is just a matter of putting as many eggs as you can in as many baskets, and there's a definite chance one or two of them will stick, and then just building on from that.
Yeah, it's like, because when you're releasing a song, say if it's a different genre, that's what I'm trying to do right now. That's what I'm trying to not like release too many of the same songs. That's why I like taking breaks between songs, because like I'll get in a very monotonous pattern of like making the same type of song, and that'll be very the same genre, right? And oh, like the same blogs will support the same blogs, the same media, the same placements, the same playlists or whatnot will support the same genre. And sure, it's cool to get on the same ones, but it's also really, really awesome to like kind of expand and get, you know, reach new audiences through kind of different waves. Like I released like 1 year ago, I released a song like called Coffee. It was like a really pop song. And yeah, so I don't know why, but I tried getting on R&B playlists, didn't get on any of them. And I was like, that's fair enough. It's straight up a pop song. But then my recent song called Safe, it really it wasn't that R&B, but like it got some, you know, a bit more R&B support. So now people from who listen to more R&B, such alternative pop or whatnot, know my music, but also I've got the audience from like, you know, the generic kind of pop. So it's like, and then they each one likes different songs. So I've kind of come to the conclusion, like, I can release, it's just a matter of releasing different songs, what you like, and, you know, someone will find that and someone in your audience will like it, essentially, if you kind of grow it through different channels.
It's really clear that a lot of your attention seems to have really worked well leading up to the release. Like, there's a lot of preparation into marketing and other elements. So for you getting, say, this last single, say, for example, what was the kind of putting it out there thing like? Were there any radio stations you reached out to over in Perth, or any like local affiliates that helped you out with the track? And yeah, that I think that'll be really helpful for people to hear.
So yeah, I 100% I love the marketing side of it. So pretty much I will sometimes, even it's kind of bad because I'll get so focused in the marketing side, I'll forget. I'll be like, oh, I need to make music. But then once I get into the music kind of routine, it's like I'll forget about the whole marketing side. But like right now, I'm in like a marketing zone because I just released a song, so it's just like marketing. What can I do and everything? But in terms of placements, playlists in like Perth, there's obviously like RTR FM, but in terms of like other like. I feel like it's very tight knit in terms of like placements and everything, because like there's pretty much RTR FM, which will support lots of like local music, but then you get to, there's probably a ton of other radio stations, I can't list any in my head, but there's When you get to like commercial radio, especially in Perth, I feel like they, especially because Perth is, well, what from what I've seen, like even our hit network, so like our hit 92.9 got transferred to a Triple M, so it's like a rock. So you can like clearly see that the radio stations are getting an older demographic, especially through Perth. But you have tons over east. So you have like even the commercial radios. Obviously, like you lost like the Ashland Live was crazy, but that's what that was lost a few weeks ago. They closed that one up. And then you have like FBI radio. But also, I think in over in the east, just because there's more radios, I find more support there. Like I get most of even like my commercial support. There's this radio station in Canberra called The Edge. They're pretty good. But like there's tons in over east just because there's lots more in Perth. Obviously it's tight knit, but if you're a Perth artist, you don't need to play in Perth. And what I've actually seen is someone told me is like Perth only starts supporting their artists once they see them blow up outside of Perth. It's like, I think it was Tame Impala, like only once they moved to LA, like people started saying, oh, Tame Impala's from Perth. Like when they were in Perth, no one cared. That's what I've been thinking. So I really don't focus too much on Perth. Obviously I want to get the classic Perth ones, but I also look around like the East and everything, cause there's also stuff on the East too.
That's an interesting point you bring up. I feel like it's not to discount the Aussie music industry cause they're amazing, but it is a thing. I think with a lot of media as well that artists become big only maybe after there's a lot of attention overseas.
Yeah, but yeah, it's just like more, it's just like stories, what people want really. Like even it's like a person doesn't want to say, oh, this Perth is just a normal Aussie artist. Like they won't be like, oh, they're Aussie artists and they're blowing up in LA. Like everyone's like, oh my God, who are they?
You need to have that qualifier.
Yeah. It's just social. It's just how we work. Like we want to have social proof really. So it's like, oh, they're blowing up in LA. Oh my God. Let me check them out. I think that's kind of that's what I've seen happen a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then we've got like, we've talked about the marketing side and the songwriting side, which you both clearly enjoy. But for a lot of people, there's so much more than the releasing the song and then hoping for the best. There's marketing and there's reaching out to people and maybe there's some other moments. What other aspects for you were there leading into the single that maybe surprised you? Maybe social media or some other elements that maybe you didn't really expect.
Yeah. Well, social media is a kind of hate love thing. Like you love it when people are engaging and replying, and then you'll have like 2-3 weeks where no one says you like that, like music or nothing, and you're like, damn. So that's how I've recently been like, oh, I'll post on social media, but I try not to like measure numbers. Like I remember Gary B said something like, oh, just post and just never look at your numbers. I can't do that, but I have to look at it a fair few times, but that's like the goal. But what I've found, especially in terms of social media, it's about the core of like, kind of like, it's all boring, but like it's not about what the core you're offering them. Like, so it's about the content is the most important thing, and the core of like, so the music's the most important thing, but also the content behind it. So the social media platform obviously matters a tiny bit, but apart from it, doesn't matter. Like if it's good content and it's like it's actually something that people will like laugh at, or they find entertaining, or you're actually offering them value, like say you're educating them or something like that. People will find value. At least one person will find value out of it. Because like for example with TikTok, it's I feel like there's a huge movement towards educating right now on TikTok. And lots of musicians educating, and that's cool. But it's also, you have to be very aware of like your target audience, and say if you wanted to educate people, so you're doing tutorial videos. What you have to realize is your audience will be musicians. So your people who listen to music will be musicians. That may be a cool thing, that may be a bad thing. Whatever you want. If you're like, you know, if you want to make, you know, if you want to take jokes and stuff, your audience will be people who like jokes. So it's just like stuff like that. I think once you just take that into account, and then you can do all the kind of nitty gritty stuff about social media. But I think it's actually the core of it is just like, you know, good content and like experimentation. But also like being just, I know it sounds cheesy, but like being yourself. And I'm still trying to like, you know, get around that. Like sometimes I'll like spend too much time like making a story or something like that, and I'll be like, oh, just delete it. Cause it's, when you spend too much time on like a post or something like that, it just like gets very like, oh, this guy's a mysterious artist. Wow. He's so like edgy. Like, you know what I mean? And well, at least for me, I don't want to be like that. I just want to be like, you want to have a relationship with your audience. So it's just like kind of talking to them. So I feel like it's just, you know, don't overlook it. Don't overlook it, and don't, like, you know, put too much effort into it. Put effort into it, but like, don't put too much thought into it. Just put out what feels natural to you, and then you'll find what content works for you.
You mentioned TikTok there and Instagram, obviously. And I'd love to get your opinion on this, because back in the day, people were listening to music much differently than they are now. Sort of, unfortunately, gone is the day of a full album release and people really listening to a song without skipping, and which is kind of a way of the future, obviously, and you've seen a lot of artists adapt. So have you felt that kind of come into your career? Is that kind of why you're stuck with singles predominantly, and maybe have pushed things on Instagram and TikTok a little bit more? Or is there an aim and intent for you to eventually release an album?
Yeah. Actually, I think, so I was in uni and I actually wrote like a whole essay about how all the songs are changing and everything. And it was like, I was reading some articles and it was like, I think the whole song is getting shortened about 75%. Like most songs are even getting like from 1:30 to 2 minutes. Like that's, and then like the chorus is hitting, I think the chorus used to be hitting around like 45 seconds. Now the chorus is hitting like even 25 seconds. So it's like, everything's just trying to get shorter. Like the first 7 seconds are the most important songs. So now pretty much most songs try not to have intros. Like most pop songs and that are kind of designed by major labels, like they don't have intros and stuff like that. Just like they all have ear candy and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, it's getting very like, you know, they're trying to build, get the listener in. And with me, I've actually kind of felt that in the back of my mind a lot. So not with Safe, but with a previous song I released, it was called Japanese Morning. Because on TikTok, you have like a thing where you have the instrumental and then you have the first line and people like dance it or not. I was thinking about that first line for about like, I don't know, 2-3 hours. I was like, what would people use this sound for? What first line would work really well for this? And in the end, it didn't blow up, didn't matter at all. But it just, I don't know, it just really was like, I was like, what first line would work? And then, yeah, with Safe, I was like, oh, this, you know, people can dance this, I don't know. But it does actually, you know, seep into my thoughts a lot. And I probably shouldn't be thinking about that much. Because, you know, if it's good, or it will just happen by luck. But yeah, like so much of songs are, so many songs are, I've seen so many people just release like stupid songs with the most dumb lyrics, and then that will go well. But then it makes other musicians be like, oh, I need to do that now. But I feel like sometimes it's making the music worse, but sometimes it's also making it better, because like people have to essentially make a song more like filled with content, more ear candy, more interesting in the first like 10, 20 seconds than they used to before. Because, you know, people, well, I wasn't around for that, but people would be listening in CDs and stuff like that, and they would have to listen to the whole thing. They're not gonna like, you know, take it out and replace it. But now it's just like such a button. So the skip button is like, people say it's detrimental to the industry, but I feel like it's also really cool, because people can now like, they decide if this song is interesting. And you know, you have to work harder nowadays to just make a song more interesting and put little ear candies there, put little kind of beat stops, you know, work on the beat more, and make everything sound really good in the first like 20 seconds. And you have to be like, well, this is, you need to be confident with what you're making. And I think that's it's a challenge, but it's a cool challenge, I guess.
Yeah. And then to wrap up, I know you've mentioned that you haven't been in the industry for an overly long time, and there's still a lot you feel like you are going to establish. But if you could go back to the Jared who's just making his mark and just wants to start a career in the industry, would you tell him to do anything differently? Or with the, are you kind of happy with the way things have gone and the way things have progressed and things that have come your way so far?
So I wouldn't tell them to do anything different. I'm pretty happy with the path I took. But what I would just tell them to say, like, don't look at things. Don't try aim for the stars, but then also like aim for the stars, but then like actually land on the moon. Like, because you know what I mean? So you can, because sometimes you'd be like, oh, I want to get this crazy thing, and then you get too focused on it. And then you forget about the actual what thing is. It's about making music. It's about like enjoying it and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes people, and even I did, sometimes I'll get caught up in saying, oh, I want to get like 50,000 monthly listeners. But the thing is like, you don't feel any different when it happens, but yeah.
Amazing. Jared Jeremiah chatting to us today about making your mark in a town that doesn't really have a massive music scene, meeting people online and in person, and making the most of social media. Follow him over on Instagram at Jared Jeremiah. Follow us over on Instagram at Puzzle Piece Pod. And check out all the other awesome Sin podcasts over at sin.org.au.